anyway.
Welcome one and all once again to Nerds on the Rocks episode 140. This week we will be talking about MTV cartoons, and we'll get to why in a second. But before we get there, let's introduce our panel. We have Wesley.
You know what? I watched practically all of these on this list, so this should be pretty awesome.
And we have Trent.
Howdy. I'm really excited to talk about this. I've kind of had a whole bunch of MTV shows on my mind for a bit.
Yes, actually, I mean, I've wanted to do this because I'm a huge fan of the show, but this came about because yesterday, Wednesday, as of this recording, Trent put up a video on his Tumblr and I guess YouTube about wanting to bring back Undergrads, which is a show I personally have given up on coming back because they've always teased that it would come back because it ends.
Well, here's the thing. I wasn't just making that for giggles. There's a campaign called Bring Back Undergrads, and it's being led by Pete Williams, who is the show's creator, who I recently met at Con Bravo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the whole point of it is he's having a whole bunch of fans submit really short videos about why the show was important to them. And then I think ultimately it's going to go into kind of a collaborative video, which is going to accompany a Kickstarter campaign or an Indiegogo campaign to return the rights from Decode. And then that way, he may not be able to get a new television season, but he could make a cartoon for the internet. He could do a comic book. He could continue with those characters as soon as he gets the rights back. So I don't think it's really necessarily going to lead to a brand new season of one of my favorite shows. But the hope is that it ultimately leads to
something,
some character development. Because Earl, as you know, like that show, which I dug it all the way through. Some people say it only hit its stride near the end, but it ends on a cliffhanger, and not only like a shitty cliffhanger, like Clone High did, but it the cliffhanger that it ended on was like whatever number amount of days until like the second year of university. So like the last thing you see is not a to be continued. It is like 67 days until semester two, and there has not been a semester two. Like, they finished their first year of college and university, and that was it. So every time I watch the show, and I do enjoy it, it always kind of breaks my heart to see that last part. So I'd like to see something cool happen with the characters.
Yes, I would like to see this resolution as well. I would also like to kind of see the show come back. It would be nice if it came back full time, but I doubt that. I don't think MTV really caters to cartoons anymore. I mean, I don't really know what MTV caters to anymore, honestly.
Reality.
Yeah.
In practice.
I was about to say in quotes, reality.
Reality, Catfish, Teen Mom. They like Teen Mom.
Which is also reality. Because, I mean, and this is one of those things that there's been discussions
about. Shit about music videos.
There's been a discussion about this before, and not just with, I think Undergrad, and I think to a certain degree, Undercared was another show that came out around the same time. Because a lot of shows kind of, because they were on network TV, kind of had to show a neutered college experience, where it was kind of implied that a lot of the stuff people did or engaged in school. And I'm not saying that everybody had a similar college experience, but I felt like shows like this and Undercared, like I mentioned, were a bit more true to a person's college experience, especially from they have very similar setups with a main character who is not necessarily socially awkward, but with I guess a bit more sheltered in high school and just kind of having this freedom to themselves and what they're doing with it. And it was interesting to kind of see Nitz's evolution, because he did kind of go through that thing that most freshmen go through. It's a very similar process for me, where like you kind of want to be a studious student, but you also kind of realize that this is a time to... people don't necessarily judge you for the stupid stuff you do in college. And everybody tries to find themselves, and he does find himself several times throughout the show. There's an episode, I think, where they start like a campaign for his financial aid check.
Yeah. Oh, and I personally like when he like tries to cope with his virginity and becomes, like, evangelical.
Okay, I will fully admit, undergrad, like, Undergrad the Undeclared were the two, probably the two series that came on, like, the latter part where I didn't really watch a lot of the MTV animation. Like,
Undeclared was, it was a, Josh, no, not Josh.
Oh, sorry, that was the Fox show. Sorry, dude.
Yeah,
I got
it.
Undergrad was one that I managed to somehow, somehow managed to pass me by. Because, like, it was right on the edge of, like, I was very, like, the last MTV cartoon series I really, like, very much got into was probably Downtown by the guys who did Megas XLR, who went on to do Megas XLR, actually. And, but so it's like, I need to check out Undergrad one of these days, because it sounds actually a lot of fun. I kind of wish I wouldn't have missed it back then.
Well, I actually got into it on the DVD, because I think this entire season set was like $10 one day.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, I think I did the same thing. But yeah, like I said in the video, like I've never seen Undeclared, to be fair, but with regards to undergrads, like, it was the sort of show that my friends and I always would quote to each other. Like, it didn't matter the circumstances or what have you, we would just find an odd little quote and just kind of roll with it. And I feel like in a lot of ways, the clique was my friends, so it just kind of sucks to see nothing happen with what I thought was a promising series.
Yeah, promising series, a lot of cool characters. And I felt like they weren't kind of, I guess, bullying certain stereotypes. Like, Rocco's kind of like that jock, but he does have that heart, and, you know, you have Cal, who's just kind of like that kind of ditzy, I guess, you know, manslut, if you want to call it that. But it never seemed like they were mean to any of these characters. They were never mean to any of these stereotypes. They were always there for their friend. Yeah. And it's also one of those things that, I don't want to bring this up, but kind of like Mean Girls, where they kind of go through Mean Girls, and the start is like, you have this kick, you have that kick. And it's people who are bounded together by common interest. And it's, I mean, these are four different types of people, and they're still friends, and they remain friends through college, which I will say from my personal experience, isn't necessarily something that does happen for everybody.
Yeah.
Especially being that I think three of them go to three different schools within the general vicinity, but three different schools.
Yeah, they're in the same town.
But yeah.
I know what you're saying. I mean, like, it's one of these things. Like, the reason why I say that these people are my friends, not all my friends are like that, but all my guy friends that I was friends with in university and I'm still friends with today, we're all still kind of like that. We have different interests. Some of us are nerdy. Some of us are kind of jockey. Some of us are players, but we all kind of have the same common ground. And, I mean, we have risk nights, too, that sort of thing. So...
Yeah. and that was kind of the thing. Again, it's just like bringing together these characters, these very and treating them with respect. And even the secondary characters, Jesse was the one he had a crush on. Or was that Kimmy Burton?
No, that was Kimberly Burton. And Jesse was the one that he hooked up with that ultimately had feelings for him. And it was unrequited love. And that's something that needs to be addressed in the future.
Yeah, it's and I like Mumps, who was Gimpy's number two.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm just listening to this because I'm just listening to this entire thing, going, I think I should start hunting down this series now.
The Dougler,
who was their RA.
Awesome. Now, it's just one of these things. Like, it was yet another MTV show that really hit a soft spot with me, and I felt like it went before its time.
There's a lot of MTV shows like that,
I think most of them. I mean, we'll get to that in a bit because, I mean,
shows.
We're talking about
this. Yes, it's on freaking YouTube.
Yeah.
Holy crap, the entire series is on YouTube.
I think I've seen the entire series maybe three or four times through.
Well, I've seen it like 8 times.
Yeah,
I know who else would be checking out over the weekend.
It's a really good show. And we'll get to this at a lot of
MTV for this,
show.
By the way. Cool, new series to check out.
I do think they get canceled before their time. I'm just going to jump ahead real quick to this one because I don't think this one's going to have as much talking. But they also had an MTV Spider-Man series that came out after the original Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, the Neil Patrick Harris.
fan of that?
Yes.
You were a fan of that. I really hated it.
Trent, I think I'm with you there, man. Because I watched a couple episodes, and I'll double check here, but I do believe, wasn't it Mainframe? It was Mainframe. And I did not like the style Mainframe chose for this series, like the animation style. It just was kind of odd.
I didn't mind it. I think the only thing I mind was I think MJ's design was a bit more loose than the movie interpretation of her. But I thought it did well for what they had to work with.
I didn't think that MJ was really in that series that much, wasn't it? What was her name? The blonde one?
MJ was in it too. I think MJ was the main girl. Because she had like that little cut t-shirt and whatever.
Yeah, because she was voiced by Alisa Loeb.
But yeah.
Lisa Loeb as Mary Jane.
She has done so much random voice work. You know, she did the voices for like three of the characters in Grandia Extreme.
Lisa Loeb! She married Zappa at one point, so.
I thought that they had to work with a lot of imitations because they were set in the movie first. They couldn't use any of the major bad guys. So there was like no.
Really? They couldn't use any of the major bad guys?
No, because they couldn't do anything that, because it was in the movie first.
Like 1,000 episodes with the Shocker and Rhino?
I think Electro was the big
one. Good Lord, reminds me of like Justice League at one point. Yeah, you can't use the Batman. Okay, crap.
I don't mind the Batman one so much because with the Justice League, you don't need Batman villains just because there's so many. But yeah, with this, I mean, you have Spider-Man, and it's like, oh, you can't use Green Goblin, you can't
use Doc Ock. That would be annoying.
That
would be a pain.
So yeah, I mean, I think they had...
was like, slam, slam.
They had, I think, Electro came back three episodes. They had the Kingpin and like two of them. And then most of them was just like one-off villains and stuff like that. But I mean, it was a bit more, I hate using this term, but it was a bit more mature.
Yeah.
Earl.
I said I hate using that term, but I didn't know how else to describe it, because it did deal
with... It fits. I'll give him it. It fits.
It's a good show, and it's, you know, I also have this on DVD. I think I got this in undergrads around the same time.
If we're looking back in time, I mean, obviously, I was a huge fan of Daria. Not so much Beavis and Butthead. I thought that was really good.
I was never a fan of Beavis and Butthead.
Daria is very near to
But there's a difference. Like, I mean, if Beavis and Butthead were taking the lowest common denominator and pointing a finger at them, then Daria was the one to take that same weird, awkward, socially misanthrope kind of demographic and say, this person is a decent person. It's someone that people could aspire to be more like. Mm-hmm. You know? So I feel like they both are kind of around social misfits, but it's different in how it's framed.
Yeah, I think Daria does it much better in that.
Yeah.
I think part of it is just because Daria, even though she is kind of a social misfit, she has some type of quality to her. But Beavis and Butthead were just kind of obnoxious to me.
Beavis and Butthead is, yeah. That was a series, oh God help me, that's one of the series we all, like, kind of grew up with, and I remember watching it back in, like, elementary school going, oh Lord, this is insane, and it's one of those series where I'm like, wow, this series, and then I watched Daria, and Daria's, like, night and day over Beavis and Butthead, and they only mention, like, any reference to that series she was on one time. Like, the first episode is like, after I got out of Highland, I think, yep, that was it.
Yeah. She mentions those two, and that's all she says. She doesn't actually say them by name, either. No, I was a huge fan of Daria. I still watch it occasionally. I have it on DVD, and I'm not really a big DVD person anymore, either. One other MTV show that I downright adore that I don't think many people really remember is Aeon Flux.
I remember very
just
well.
Before,
remember
before
they made that awful, awful movie.
Which I've seen. But before we switch gears, have you seen the Daria, the movie with Audrey Plaza, Troya?
I just watched that today.
No, I haven't, but she would be the perfect person to play.
Yeah,
I'm watching it.
It's the right person for that role if they ever did go with the live-action version of it.
I agree to watch
that. The girl
that
played Gwen did a really good job. I'm like, dang, not bad on the actors they got to play, like Trent, Quinn, Jane Lane. They did a really good job with them. They're like, dang, I wouldn't mind seeing this.
Okay, but back to Aeon Flux, because I'm curious about this, because I have seen the movie, which is why I never went back to see the show.
Yeah, no, the movie is terrible, because I don't think it really, like, the show's format was a whole bunch of shorts for the first few runs, and then it kind of evolved into longer kind of shorts. I don't think that they were ever really full episodes.
No, they were.
It went from being, like, a 5-minute short to being, like, a 15 or 20 minute short, you know?
Kind of like
the Clone Wars, if you remember that. Not the recent TV show, but the one that predated it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did, like, with Aeon Flux, initially they debuted on Liquid Television for, like, the 5 to 10 minute shorts on there, interspersed with the other series. Then they did the half an hour series that pretty much never really had a story. They just did, like, kind of done-in-one crazy episodes that Peter Chung just said, screw it, go for it.
I kind of dig that side of it, though. Like,
it's awesome.
The big problem with the movie is that it takes characters that have no business getting together, and it creates something between them that was never there in the shorts. And that's not to say that there wasn't any character development in the shorts, because there was. There are moments where you would think, oh, there's something going on between Aeon and Trevor Goodchild. But Trevor's character in the movie comes off as this big, like, whoopee. Like, he's this...
Really? I need to see this insanity just once, because that would be weird.
Yeah. We're supposed to feel bad about this guy, and he's tortured, trying to save everyone. And you watch the show, you watch the show, and there are moments where you're like, I'm okay with this guy hooking up with Aeon, because they kind of meet on the same intellectual plane. But overall, he's just some asshole who loves having power and doesn't mind fucking with people. Like, the biggest problem with the movie for me is that the show was it was kind of cyberpunk, really. And it was one of these things, like, if there was a problem, it was solved using technology or electronics or robotics. It was very gritty, and it was very dystopian. And you go to see the movie, and it's inspired by nature. Like, all the weapons have plant-like designs.
Huh.
There's grass that tries to kill people. And every bad guy in it, save Trevor's brother, who is a character they created from thin air, is, like, completely wash their hands of what's going on. So it just it bugs me. It's nothing like the TV show. So it bugs me.
Yeah, because it was weird for me when I was a kid. Another one of those theories that I always tell people, you ever want to explain me in my, like going into teenage years? Take a listen to what the stuff I watched. And, like, Aeon Flux I watched at, like 11 years old back in the day. My mind was blown when I saw freaking Aeon Flux as an 11, 12-year-old. And I was like, I really should not be watching this.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, this is crazy.
Okay, and this is
around the time of Max and the Head.
Yes.
You know?
More serious.
It wasn't, like, really clean animation, and it wasn't, like, high-end animation. It was gritty.
It was highly detailed,
and it was gritty, and it was alternative. And I think that's what made it cool.
It was very cool to my 11 to 13 year old self going, this is so cool. And I always say, like, Aeon Flux is definitely one of those series that Like, Peter Chung, like, I knew, every time I ever knew Peter Chung worked on something, I knew his style right off the bat. Like, Phantom 2040. Okay, that's the Adam Flux guy that worked on this.
Oh, and that one short in the Animatrix, as soon as I saw it, I was like, yes. Holy crap.
Love that short, too, actually. Holy crap.
Just a random question, and I don't know if you folks remember this. There was another movie that came out around the same time that was very similar to Aeon of Flux.
Ultraviolet.
Okay.
Ultraviolet that... and Aeon of Flux had a showdown at fair, and both of them failed. But you know what? You know what though? I would still watch. Here's the thing, because I saw Ultraviolet when it came out on DVD, and it's like so bad it's good. Whereas I saw Aeon Flux and I hated it. I hated it, but I also kind of I thought Charlize Theron was really fucking hot in it. Like I couldn't get over it. Like every time I was watching it, I was just like, oh god, this is awful. But she's so hot.
Yeah,
I just think
it's worth watching just for Charlize Theron, but it's a terrible movie. Not even so bad, it's good.
I was about to say, because I remember advertising two very similar movies around the same time, and I couldn't tell them apart.
Yeah.
And I guess because I didn't have the background with Aeon of Flux, I just couldn't remember the name of the other one.
Like Olympus Has Fallen and White House Down?
Which, at least we're smart enough to have months apart, and both of them kind of failed either way.
Well, you know what, though? I saw both of them, and I still can't tell them apart, really.
I like both of them. I would say that White House Down went for a more comedic take.
I just thought it was terrible and understood that it was terrible. I wouldn't call that comedy, Earl.
I thought it was going for comedy, so that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Another show that ended with a cliffhanger after one season on MTV was Clone High.
I love Clone High.
Clone High is a very weird show.
Weird, but awesome, though.
In that these are clones of famous historical figures who attend the same high school.
Did you guys in the States get Breaker High? Did you get Breaker High?
We got Degrassi on one of the teen stations here. Breaker High we got on syndication here.
Cool. So, the shows like that were made in Canada for no goddamn reason. The teen high school, it's kind of like, that's what Buffy was based on, although, of course, there's, like, demons and crap in that. It's the same concept as that, except it understands that it's a teen drama and plays on it constantly, but also understands that every character of value is a clone of a historical figure, and therein is subject to a whole bunch of historical figure jokes. So I think it's brilliant. I thought it was brilliant the first time I watched it. I bought the DVD the first day it came out when I was in grade 10, and we actually just watched it when we were driving up to Montreal for my best friend's bachelor party. So it's a very important show, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's and I think it ends with everybody getting frozen.
It does. The controversy surrounding that show. It wasn't that the ratings were poor, because the ratings were good, and it wasn't that it was a poorly made show, because the critics actually very much liked it. The problem was related to its portrayal of Gandhi. Essentially, in promoting this, they made a lot of cracks at a lot of historical figures, one of which was Gandhi. They put that ad into a magazine, which got to India, where Gandhi is extremely revered. And if you've ever seen the show, not only would you recognize him as comedic fodder, but probably more than anyone else, he's quite retarded. Like, he is the character, he's kind of like the joke whipping boy throughout the show. So India was not really pleased with the portrayal, and it was around this time that MTV India was first opening up over there.
Oh.
Yeah, so there was a number of protests and a hunger fest that happened outside the offices, with a number of rallying cries to the tune of, either you take Clone High off the air, or MTV India gets out of this country. So MTV decided to take Clone High off the air, which is unfortunate for everyone who has a funny bone. It's funny because my friend Tom continues to propose this idea for how they could bring the show back, because Gandhi was the problem. Let's just have them unfreeze everyone in that meat locker.
Except for...
And Abe is like, oh my god, everyone unfroze, and there's no negative side effects. And then the whole room looks over at Gandhi, and he shatters into a million pieces. Like, moving forward. But, yeah, no, the long and the short is it was a great show, and it was certainly taken before its time, but...
That could be said for a lot of these shows on this show.
Undergrads, I would argue, has a much higher chance of ever coming back than Clone High.
Clone High.
Yeah. And that's just a political correct kind of issue.
Well, I think I think a lot of the people behind Undergrads want it back, and a lot of people from Clone High have kind of moved on. I mean, one of the people behind it was Bill Lawrence, who went on to do Scrubs, Cougar Town.
Yeah. The thing is, I think that if they had the green light to go back to Clone High, they easily could. Outside of the fact that kind of animation is not really expensive to produce, if you look at the casting lists, pretty much everyone who was on Scrubs did Clone High.
Yeah.
And a lot of people did a lot of the same voices. So getting the whole cast together and pushing in some episodes, I would argue, would not be very challenging. It's just a matter of having the rights and having the ability to create content, understanding that some people are going to be way too sensitive towards it.
Okay. This is I don't know if this counts necessarily, but it's on the list, and I'm going to do it because I used to have this show, a Celebrity Deathmatch.
Yeah, it does, because it was on there. It was on MTV.
Animation, though?
What?
What happened?
Was it on animation, though?
It was one of the animation series on there.
I guess that counts. I didn't really like it personally. Outside of the fact that all the celebrities that they always got on there were like B-list celebrities, in my opinion. Outside of that, I didn't find the color commentary to be that intelligent or witty.
I think part of it was just because it had such a huge WWE tie-in, and this is around when the Attitude Era was hot, so I kind of just watched it because they were always talking about WWE and Stone Cold.
It was timed perfectly for that period.
It was kind of in that raunchy, that raunchy R-rated WWE, WCW stuff, and it kind of catered to that audience. I mean, yeah, granted, it could go over the top, but this is kind of what you want in, I guess, a farce of professional wrestling at the time.
And it was off-the-wall, loopy, insane, and some of the celebrities, mentioned actually did pop up to do voices. Like, Stone Cold did an episode, and freaking Debbie Matenopoulos did an episode doing a voice. And then the oddest thing was, like, Mills Lane was the voice of the referee, referee and the voice of the referee, so...
Apparently it had two different runs.
Yeah. I saw some of the second run, the weird like MTV2 run they did. And that didn't last long because I think MTV2 was like, we have no idea what to do with this.
Yeah, and again, it's one of those things that worked because it was a very big cross promotion with professional wrestling when it was hot. I mean, WWE wasn't the same thing by the time the mid-2000s came around.
Mm-hmm.
ECW wasn't around. WCW wasn't around. And, I mean, I guess they could have retrofitted it and made it more of an MMA-type show.
That actually would have been kind of cool. All the celebrities in, like, an octagon.
Yeah.
And
that could have worked, but I guess they didn't have the foresight to think of it that way. And they just kind of repeated the formula.
I mean, and it's weird because I got to see it's always weird when you realize you get to grow up, and see how these shows kind of developed over the years of like seeing how, because it was like Beavis and Butthead was like the gigantic launching point, and then you had the giant launching point for everything, because Mike Judge got a killer career out of Beavis and Butthead, that's for darn sure. And then you've got, and then the, and I used to watch everything in TV animation that would pop up, like up until about 2000, 2001, and like on a regular basis, like if it was, like I used to watch the freaking Brothers Grunt, which was by the guy who eventually went on to do Ed, Edd n Eddy. And
I hated that show.
Which one?
Ed, Edd n Eddy.
Okay.
I couldn't stand it. I thought it was the dumbest thing on television.
Put it this way. If you didn't like Ed, Edd n Eddy, oh, you would have hated the Brothers Grunt, because I did not like the Brothers Grunt that then when I first watched it. Because I think I watched like a couple episodes and I'm like, I'm out. And then I saw Ed, Edd n Eddy, and while I could watch Ed, Edd n Eddy in doses, I saw the animation, I went, this is the Brothers Grunt guy, before I even knew.
But how sad is that you can say I can watch it in doses? Like, aren't the best shows the ones that you enjoy watching and can watch in as much as you
need? I agree. It's like, there's some shows, like the other, like the series on here, like I said, Downtown I mentioned. Like, I could watch Downtown again straight through, have a ball, have a blast, because, and then, like, the same thing with, like, the series that some of the people who did Downtown, Mega XLR, I could watch that all the way through, no problem. And the Ed, Edd n Eddy guy, the animation style that he does, like, and there's some people who are, Ed, Edd n Eddy is beloved to them. Beloved. And I can see why, I can understand it. It wasn't really my cup of tea, but, Ed and Eddie's like one of those shows, so, but then when I saw the Brothers Grunt back in the day, I went, yeah, this is like the MTV show that I'm like, I'm not into. Now, the Oddities, going back on topic here, is like The Head and The Max that they aired, those series were cool. The Head was not too bad, but The Max was awesome. Oh, The Max was amazing. That series captured Sam Keefe's art style beautifully. That series is beloved to me.
Beloved.
Oh yeah, I loved did you guys watch The Max?
We never got it up here.
Okay.
I've heard great things about it, but I've just never seen it, to be honest.
It's even if you've never read the comic, it's so well worth watching because it's so weird and surreal. And Sam Keefe's art is beautiful, and if you ever want a good idea of what Sam Keefe's art, because you guys have seen, I know Earl, you've read stuff of Sam Keefe before more than likely, haven't you? Like, The Max or any of his stuff for, like, Marvel or DC or IDW.
I am terrible for comic writers' names. We've been through this before.
Oh, I know. He's also an artist-writer, but, Trent, have you ever seen any of Sam Keefe's stuff before?
I don't believe so, no.
Basically, if you ever want a good idea what Sam Keefe's art, because he's one of my favorite artists, and The Max captures it beautifully. It's one of those shows that it's animated enough that it really captures the style and it has a unique style. And it's really weird because he like had The Head, which was kind of gritty, kind of rough, but still you can kind of get into it. The Max was a whole different ball game, and you either dug it or you were like, what the hell is this? And my mind was, this is the freaking coolest thing ever. And then that was gone, because that was like, MTV anime, it was really weird with MTV animation, because if you take a look over the history of it, it goes in really weird ebbs and flows, because they don't, yeah, that was like the 90s was like the heyday, like the 90s into like the early 2000s was sort of like the heyday of it, and the 90s were especially the heyday of MTV animation.
Well, yeah.
And,
like we said, MTV doesn't really do cartoons anymore.
They don't really do. Well, MTV, like I said, I have a fondness for it because I used to watch it all the time. Like anything MTV animation, that's what I watched. I loved watching those Daria marathons they used to do back in the day.
Where, well, I mean,
those are awesome. Those were too much fun.
I guess to be fair, it's not necessarily MTV's fault. A lot of people have kind of gone away from cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel part of it is just that I guess we consume media differently now, so it's really hard to kind of, you don't have kids who get that structured, well, I guess not structured, I guess they have more structure now. We're at home from like 3 to 5 after school while mom and dad are working. So, I was going to say, speaking of shows that kind of were for kids, Ren and Stimpy started on MTV, if I'm not mistaken.
It was. It had a short run on there. Actually, Ren and Stimpy had a short run. Speed Racer had a short run on there. They actually used to air all episodes of Speed Racer at like 11 at night at one point on MTV. Yes, I remember this really well because that was like the first time I ever saw it. I was up late one night and I went, huh, what? Speed? Okay, let's watch this. Son of a gun, this is actually kind of awesome. Terribly dubbed, but awesome. But that was Speed Racer. And there's kind of a charm to that.
Okay. Anything else on this list or any other MTV shows that you folks want to talk about?
There's one thing that I've always kind of thought about, because if you have seen the DVD set for Daria, you'll know that one of the bonus features is like a concept thing for a Mystic Spiral spinoff.
Oh, yeah!
Apparently at one point, MTV was really thoroughly contemplating the idea of having Trent's band have their own TV show, and it never happened. And I think I know why it never happened. It's because there's no feasible way that could be done. Because I have thought about it, and I have thought about it. And I could not write a show like that and have anyone want to watch those characters for any prolonged period of time.
You could get a miniseries out of it. That's about what you could get.
Yeah.
You could get about 6 episodes.
Yeah, a miniseries sounds about right.
Which is about how long a show lasts on MTV, so that would have worked out anyhow.
Well, Downtown, most of the shows that only lasted about a season on MTV usually got about 13 episodes.
I mean, that's about average for a cable show. That's what they do with Teen Wolf, and that's what they do with, actually, Teen Wolf's the only show I know they currently air, so there's that. I don't necessarily know if I want MTV to get back into... Oh, this is a random question, but you have MTV in Canada, right?
Yes.
Okay, what is Much Music?
Okay, so we only got MTV in Canada probably in 2006, 2005. Before that, we knew that MTV existed. We just never had it. We've always had Much Music. It's been around since the 80s here, and even today, they still play music videos. They have their own original programming, like MTV. They also share some shows with MTV, but a bigger part of it is playing music. So the thing that you guys all gripe about, the fact that music television doesn't play any music anymore, we kind of still have. In fact, we have Much Music and we have Much More Music. So there's actually two different channels. Much Music is more for like the adolescent and teen crowd, and Much More Music is for the older crowd. It's had a really prolonged impact on Canadians, I would argue. Like back in the 90s when Canada was really into grunge and alternative and like dream pop and stuff. Like back when you guys were into boy bands, we were into alternative music for the most part.
'90s. Oh yeah.
That television station was kind of our entry point into music discovery. And it played a huge part of my youth up until the point where I was like, nothing on here appeals to me anymore. And now I'll watch Much More Music on occasion if I still want to watch music videos or whatever.
I'm not defending them here, but it's not that we don't have channels dedicated to music. It's like the third MTV channel. We have like MTV One, we have MTV Two, we have MTV U, which is usually the one that has the music on it.
Well, now you guys also have like online ones too, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You guys have an MTV on YouTube now that's specifically geared at like stand up comedy. Like, I don't understand how your television stations work. There again, every time I go down to Boston and I visit my sister, like, you guys have like 4,000 channels. It's insane.
Yeah, it is insane. It's a bunch of channels, but none of them have. It's pretty much a lot of them are repeats. Like, for instance, we just got movie channels at my house, and it's like HBO, HBO West, and HBO Spanish. Same thing. HBO West is just HBO 3 hours behind,
mm-hmm.
and HBO Spanish is HBO with everything airing in Spanish. So it's like, yeah, we got a bunch of channels, but they're pretty much just overlapping on each other.
And they do the same thing with Showtime here, and they do the same thing with, like, it's like, weird.
Yeah, and then you have the channel, then you have the HD version of the channel. Even though I have an HD cable box, so everything I get is in HD, they still have the dedicated channel in HD, and then they have a special HD section for these channels. So, yeah, it's a bunch of channels, but none of them do anything.
And then you have, like, and another quick little thing here, is like, we do have, like the probably the more dedicated other music channel here is, like, in, like, when you have VH1, which is the mishmash of weird, and then you have VH1 Classic, which is the channel that actually has music-related stuff, then they'll randomly put on Married with Children and other stuff.
I was going to say, the sad thing about it is these are all owned by the same company.
Yes, that's terrifying.
You want to know what's really terrifying? Go online and see how many companies Vivendi owns.
Yeah, oh...
Yeah, I was surprised about that, because they recently came up with the whole...
So I'm not going to lie, I would argue that 90% of your programming is owned by three companies.
Oh, well, Viacom's a big part of it. Viacom owns, like, NBC USA.
Then NBC's owned by Comcast.
Yeah.
Comcast used to own all the Blockbusters, too.
So, yeah, and what happened is, like, a lot of these channels just kind of keep folding, because MTV and VH1 used to be competitive, and then they folded, and then, yeah, so, and you know, it's one of those things. I was talking about this with a friend this week, the cable business to me is one of the shakiest, sketchiest businesses we have in this country, because they pretty much have a monopoly on their area, and nobody's going to compete with them because they don't want to interfere with their own monopoly. Because it was, I think it came out this week that Time Warner's up, like, you rent a modem for your internet from Time Warner.
Yeah.
And it's $6 a month now. And I'm like, that just seems so sketchy. Like, you can buy your own, but apparently if you buy your own and you use it, if anything happens, it's not on them. So it's like, yeah, and even once you pay for the modem, which I don't know why you have to rent it anyhow, you still continue paying for it. So it's not like, okay, you know, this modem costs us $60, you pay 10 months at $6. No, it's like, you keep paying us $6 a month for this modem that you're renting from us, never owning it.
But you're paying it no matter what. Good,
yeah.
Lord, you realize we could get into another show on this at this point, because I guess there, if you dive into cable history... Especially when you dig into Comedy Central alone, and yeah, this could get detailed in a way that could dovetail into so many wondrous directions.
Yeah, but maybe we'll do that sometime soon, because Comedy Central is one of those other shows. I think Comedy Central came into its own only when they got South Park, and then eventually The Daily Show. And I still think that remains the channel, because everything else they try to cater around those two shows.
Well, Comedy Central is a weird one at one point there was Comedy Central, and then there was Comedy Channel, and then there was another channel called Ha, and then Comedy Channel bought Ha, which then merged those two channels together, and then eventually that's when they started becoming Comedy Central over time, and then that's. And, yeah, then that all kind of dovetailed in there, and that's how those two networks merged together as subscriber bases. Kind of similar to how G4, when they bought Tech TV, and merged those bases.
And then it ended up dying anyhow, so there's that.
Yeah, and by the way, people, if you really think, what's hot, it's like, you can find the promos on YouTube. I stumbled upon them at one point. I was like, oh wow, this did exist.
We're gonna put stumbled upon in a quote. But yeah, well, we are really bad with keeping up with some of these features, but actually, we're going to cut it short this week because Trent has to go, and I need to go eat food and get ready for tomorrow.
Cool.
So, okay. Yeah, check out the website. I don't know when Trent's article is going up.
He has a new... yeah, that thing. Tomorrow.
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 This week's film is...
When are you posting this podcast?
Tomorrow, Friday.
Hey, I am posting the feature today.
So this week's film, we're doing Postal, which I think I counted as our 14th video game film for 151 proof movies.
You're
15
doing Postal?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
It's the 15th one if you count when we got Trent to do Silent Hill for us last year. It's our third Ubo's movie, which makes him tied for the most by a director behind with M. Night now. So that's there. We have a Pikmin poll up, which hasn't been doing too well. You win some, you lose some.
Just hey, Earl, for your 151 movie, you need to watch Fantasy Mission Force.
Maybe we'll come across it. We went back to the list. We have like something like 50 some odd items on the list. And the last 2 months, I think we've done theme months, so we haven't done it. So the rest of the year, well, not the rest of the year, for August and September, we're doing the list. I believe for October, our current plan is to do tournament monster movies, if that's a possibility. Because there's Russians versus Zombies coming out this year.
Yeah, I've seen the trailer. Oh my lord.
There's something called like Monster Bowl, which is like an actual tournament with like fictional creatures.
My lord.
And then somebody else recommended some. But yeah, we're going back to the list for the next 2 months. Just because we need to kind of whittle it down. We keep on adding and not taking anything off. So we just got this huge list of terrible movies that everybody keeps on doing this. So it is that. Comic reviews are up this week. We have game stuff, I'm sure, which is very... we do have a game stuff. It was an article, Worst Week in Game Culture last week, which was really terrible if you follow gaming industry at all. This week isn't looking much better, but what can you do? Anyhow, you can find us on iTunes, Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, if anybody still uses that. And for Trent, Wesley, and myself, this has been Nerds on the Rocks, episode 140.
Latest. Excuse me. I've got to be direct. Nah, nah, nah. If I'm wrong, please correct. Nah, nah, nah. You're standing on my neck. Look right through me. Say I'm gloomy. Well, so sue me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Planet. Excuse me.